Thank you for joining our live broadcast. Listen after the broadcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Turn in your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verses 25 through 33. We will be baptizing Dax Bowyer, our little preacher man, at the end of service tonight. That's awesome. So you're welcome to stay around and be a part of that. Here's a little humor as you're turning in your Bible. I saw a picture and it says, Samson, get this picture. Now, it's funny that Trey did what he did because here's the humor. Samson, get this picture. You see Samson and at the side of the picture, it says, Samson enters middle age. And out of the clouds, God is speaking to Samson. And he says, your strength, Samson, will still come from your hair. But to keep you humble, I've moved it all to your nose and ears. So thank you, Trey. But I can look at a picture when I was in my 20s and I had hair like that. I think Bruce Springsteen sung a song, Glory Days. Are you there in your Bibles? The book of Numbers, chapter 13. I'm going to read just a portion of scripture, starting with verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days, and now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Their cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea. And the Termonites along the banks of the Jordan. Oh, sorry. Verse 30, that was just supposed to be funny. Verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel bad report of the land which had been spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. Then we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in theirs. I want to talk to you about winner and whiners. Winners and whiners. Ask your neighbor, be careful, but just ask them, are you a winner or a whiner? God bless you. You can be seated. I always appreciate your amens and your responses, your standing, your hand claps. Always, I appreciate it. And I would welcome it tonight. But above that, I want us to not only respond to the word, but I come to you tonight because I want us to be doers of the word. See, some people, they think day to day. That's the way they think. Some people think week to week. Some people think month to month. Some people think year to year. And then very, very few people think decade to decade. The goal of those who think day to day is just survival. If I can just get a meal for the day, if I can just get a buck for today, I can make it through today. There's others, they have a goal, they think month to month. And they want comfort. If I can just pay my bills, put gas in the car, just make sure my lights stay on, They're basically seeking comfort. Then the goal of those who think decade to decade is freedom. They want freedom. They don't want to be in bondage to anything. They want to have the freedom to make the choices that they want to make. And the reason why people seek to survive and the reason why people seek to be comfortable is because they have a scarcity mentality. They truly believe there are a number of people, even sitting in this room tonight, that believe there's not enough for everyone to have more than enough. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, according to God's holy word, is that we serve a God of more than enough. If you have a scarcity mentality tonight, you will seek to just survive, to just make it through a Monday and just have enough. But if you somehow can begin to change your thinking to an abundance mentality, then you will seek freedom. And if you will do today what others don't, there will come a day when you can have tomorrow what others won't. I'm going to say that again. If you will do today what others don't, there will come a day that you can have what others won't. Because you have to believe that the God I serve wants more for me than just a day to day. He wants more for me than even a month to month. My God is more than enough. And I am created to be a winner, and I'm not going to be a whiner. Look at your neighbor and ask a different person, are you a winner? Are you a whiner? I want to help somebody tonight. You have to decide. It's not God's choice. It's not the devil's choice. It's your choice. Come on, somebody. I said it's not the devil's choice. It's not even God's choice. It's your choice. You have to decide, am I going to get up and whine about my day? Or am I going to take my mouth and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Do you understand that whining is one of the biggest enemies of winning? Jesus could have been the biggest whiner. You realize that he was born in extreme poverty. I cannot take you and show you the scripture now because of time restraints, but I can prove to you that his parents were so poor that they cannot even offer the sacrificial lamb to give as a sacrifice for their firstborn son. They were so poor, they had to give turtle doves instead of a lamb. Then they went to a town called Nazareth where he was raised up, and it was a poor, nothing town. History says it may have had 200 people at best, and there was nothing in Nazareth. Jesus was born in a stable to extremely poor parents. And then when he came into the world, the religious folks who should have embraced him, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, rejected him. I can also prove to you, and I don't have time to do it, but his own biological half-brothers and half-sisters did not even believe in him. Yeah. The Bible says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was rejected on north, south, east, and west, but you never hear him whining about it. You never hear him complaining about it, because Jesus wasn't looking at his past. He knew that he was going to take himself all the way to the cross, and he was going to die, be buried, but he was going to come back to life a winner. And I'm telling somebody tonight, no matter what life throws at you, if you have a bad past, you've had parents that wasn't for you, let me remind you of this. If God be for you, then who? Shout who? No, shout it. Who can be against you? You just remember, sweetheart, when you've got God in your corner, you're a winner. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I know what you are. You're a winner. You're a winner. You're a winner.
I want to get it in the DNA of TPC. We're not struggling little old Pentecostals trying to barely survive another day. This is what the Word of God said. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen their seed begging bread. You're not a whiner, you're a winner, because you're a child of God. Whining or complaining is destructive. How do you know that, Pastor? I'm going to prove it through the Word of the Lord real quick. 10 men whined about what they could not do. This is very important, because 10 men in our text whined about what they could not do. It literally kept millions of people out of the promised land. In fact, the Bible calls their whining an evil report. A million plus people missed out on their dream, and it was destroyed because of 10 men that whined. You might, ladies and gentlemen, be careful who you listen to. I'm going to say it again. You might be very careful who you listen to. If you've got somebody in your ear telling you what you can't do, talking about what's never going to happen, always talking negative and complaining, you might want to disfellowship them on Facebook. I don't need that around me. I got enough talking negative. The news is negative. People are negative. I don't need to come to church and hear negative too. I want to come to a church that says, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I am a winner. Shout, I'm a winner. Shout it again. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. Make your mind and your mouth work for you. Make it work for you. So much is against us. The thing you can't control is your mind and your mouth. You can't control the weather. You can't control Donald Trump. I don't know if anybody can do that. You can't control the stock market. You can't control the person beside you. But you can control your mind and you can control your mouth. Let it work for you and not against you. How do I know these 10 men were whiners? Because winners don't give in to worry. Whiners do. Whiners play the victim because they allow their fears to grow into worry, their worry to grow into suspicion, and their suspicion to grow into division. And 10 whiners brought division to the people of God. Whining leads to separation, but winning comes through only unity. Here's what I'm telling you. When you start listening to people whine and tell us what we can't do as a church, what we'll never reach as a church, you might want to start backing away from that person, because they're operating out of the spirit of fear, and fear will bring division. But when you start talking about, my God's big enough to do it, my God can do anything, my God can make a way, even when there seems to be no way, put God in front of the Red Sea and watch him depart the waters. Put 5 loaves and 2 fishes in God's hand and watch him feed 5,000. Shout, I'm a winner. Shout it like you mean it. I'm a winner. The decision to live by faith or fear is just that. It's a decision. You choose. I'm going to live by faith or I'm going to live by fear. I'm not going to live by what I see. Do I have Bible for that? Yes, I do. I have Bible for that. I'm not living by what I see. I'm living by what I know is in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Shout, I'm a winner. It's a personal choice, and you must make it every day. What am I going to be today? I'm going to be a winner today. How am I going to win? I'm going to win in my thinking. I'm going to win through my mouth. Your choices are your responsibilities. Don't, if you're 18 or over, listen, I know a lot of things bad have happened to a lot of people, but there comes a time you got to take full responsibility. Because if you don't, you're going to play the whiner and you're going to be the victim about who didn't do what that they should have done. And it's very true. They should have done it. A lot of people have not been raised up. They've been jerked up. And it wasn't right. But it's, you know what? You went through it. Now you can stew in it, or you can talk your way out of it. And you can say, you know what, I was raised in that mess, but I'm not going to raise my kids in that mess. I'm going to be the one that's going to break the chain. I'm going to be the one that's going to break the cycle. I'm going to take my mind and my mouth, and I'm going to come out of this mess. Come on, somebody. With God's help, you can do it. Look at your neighbor and tell him, with God's help, you can do it. A whiner thinks his choices depend on his circumstances and that those circumstances are someone else's fault. Fear is rooted in the belief that you have no choice. These 10 spies really felt, we have no choice. We can't go there because it was all fear-based. And Joshua and Caleb were trying to shut them down, saying, listen, Moses, we can take this. We got this. I don't care that they're giants. David slew a giant. We can slay a giant. My God, it's nothing for God. In fact, these two guys, Caleb and Joshua, said that they're bread for us. What does that mean? I need to slow down. Here's what it means. We'll eat them up. Oh, my God. There are a few giants. That's nothing. They're bred for us. Let's take them. Let's go. And yet the Bible calls this an evil report because the people listened to the 10 whiners and they missed out on going to the promised land. In reality, your circumstances exist because of your choices. And those choices are made in the context of either faith or fear. You accept the responsibility of your choices based on faith, and you become a winner. But if all you're thinking is fear, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to become a whiner. Can I get a witness? So 10 spies made a choice based out of fear, and their evil report influenced the whole community and determined the next 40 years of their life. And it was nothing but wandering in the wilderness. And a whole community, brothers and sisters, could have had a much different outcome. It could have been much different in numbers. But because they were willing to listen to some whiners. Here's a good thought. A whiner will keep you in the wilderness. And guess what you'll do? You'll walk in circles for a long time. But a winner will help you to get into the promised land. So you might just be careful who you listen to. Why is that, Pastor? Because I can prove to you through the Word of God. Put up Hebrews 11 and 3, please. Our words have creative power. Here's what it says, by faith. Everybody say, by faith. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the Word of God. So that things which are seen, meaning birds and bees and trees, the things which we see were not made of things which are visible. What does that mean? It means that words, you can't see them. But when God spoke and said, let there be light, light appeared. When God spoke and said, let there be trees, trees appeared. Don't believe in this evolution and Big Bang theory. That's like taking a Swiss watch, putting it all apart, putting it in a bag, shaking it together, and thinking it's going to come back. What's the odds of that happening? You know why you get a Swiss watch? Because there is a Swiss watch maker. He's a master craftsman, and he puts each little piece, or she, each little piece where it needs to be. Don't give me the garbage that there's just a big bang and all of this happened. No, there is a master creator, and his name is Jesus. And he spoke light, and he spoke trees, and he spoke mountains, and he spoke rivers. Come on, somebody. Why? Because your words have creative power. Are you with me now? That's one reason why that we encourage everyone here not to curse. Why? Because you don't want to go saying curse words because your words matter. But here's what gets me. Y'all all amen me on that. But the same person that amen me on that and you really believe cursing is wrong, you'll turn right around and say negative things about yourself. Here's what it sounds like. Oh, I'll never be successful. You don't know where I come from. You wouldn't dare say a curse word, but then you would say, well, this sickness is just going to get the best of me. Some of you that never say a curse word, you'd say, well, flu season is coming, and I'm probably going to catch it. You don't realize that you're prophesying your own future. Here's what the scripture says. We will eat the fruit of our words. In other words, you can't talk defeat, ladies and gentlemen, and expect victory. You can't talk lack and expect abundance. Can I get a witness? If you want to know what your life is going to be like in 5 years, just listen to what you're saying right now. Because your words are planting seeds in your mind. And those seeds are going to bring a harvest. You're either planting weeds or you're planting seeds. By the words that you're speaking. And it's all going to bring a harvest. So if you don't like the fruit you're eating, start changing the way you're speaking. If you're going to prophesy your future, I want to prophesy something good. Why not wake up in the morning and say, I'm blessed of the Lord and I'm highly favored of God. I know this looks like an impossible situation, but my God specializes in the impossible. If you're taking notes, this is noteworthy. Your mind and your mouth will either loose you or limit you. The words you speak will either loose you or limit you. Come on, somebody. Well, let me just stop here and pause for a minute. I grew up in Houston, and I was born and raised at St. Luke's Medical Center. So growing up in Houston, I've always been a sports fan, and I like the Astros. How many like the Astros? Yeah. All right. Good. Just make sure you shout that loud for Jesus. I'm an Astros fan, and if you're a baseball fan, you know who Jose Lima is. Jose Lima, during the 1990s, was one of the star pitchers for the Houston Astros. And he won 21 games and was considered one of the best pitchers in the league. But then something happened. This is a true story. When the Astros moved from the Astrodome to their new facility, it was named Minute Maid Park. And the left field was much closer in Minute Maid Park than the fence was in the Astrodome where they used to play. The first time that Jose Lima went to the new ballpark, he stood on the mound, and when he looked out in the left field and saw how close the fence was, the first words out of his mouth were this, I'll never be able to pitch in here. The fence is way too close. This is a true story. Did you know that he went from a 21-game winner to being a 16-game loser? And it was one of the biggest negative turnarounds in Astros history. What did he do? I'm going to tell you what he did. When he got on that mound that day, he truly meant what he said, and he truly believed what he said, and he prophesied his future because he looked at a fence and said, I'll never be able to pitch in here. We've said a lot of things, ladies and gentlemen, that we didn't believe, and I get that. But you better be careful what you say, because if you believe it, and if you really, it gets in your heart, and you start speaking it from here, you're prophesying your future. And I believe with all of my heart that Jose Lima really meant what he said, and it came to pass. Your words are powerful. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And through your mind and through your mouth, you're either going to be a winner or you're going to be a whiner. Look at somebody and ask them, are you a winner? Are you a whiner? I got to hurry. Here's what Proverbs 6:2 says. We are snared by the words of our mouth. I'm going to finish up. This is something that's noteworthy. Don't use your words to describe the situation. Use your words to change the situation. I'm going to say that again. Don't use your words to describe the situation. Use your words to change the situation. Here's how that sounds. If you get up in the morning feeling the blahs, don't say, well, man, this is going to be a crummy day. I don't want to go to work. I'm so tired of working with Cruella de Vil. Don't do that. Don't just barely stump your toe and say, yep, it's going to be one of those days. I know it. No. Instead, you get up and say, this is going to be a great day. Something good is going to happen to me today. Here's what the scripture says. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, let the weak say, I'm strong. Notice it doesn't say, let the weak talk about their weakness. It doesn't say, call five friends and complain about your weakness. It doesn't say let the weak get in a small group and discuss their weakness. No, let the weak say opposite of how they feel. They feel weak, but let the weak say, I am strong. Come on, shout it. I am strong. Doesn't matter how you feel. You cannot speak a lie telling the truth. And when you're speaking the word, you may not feel it, but you're not lying because you're speaking the word. Come on, somebody. In other words, don't talk about the way you are. Talk about the way you want it to be. And when you wake up in the morning, this is what you need to say. Look in the mirror. Instead of getting depressed, instead of saying, oh man, look how old I look. Look at all this gray hair. Look at this no hair. Look at all these wrinkles. Here's what you need to do. Y'all ready for this? You need to look in the mirror and smile, and you need to say, good morning. You're God's masterpiece. You say, well, Brother Neil, I don't know about that. Listen, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Go, not tonight, not right now, but in Ephesians 2 and 10, you need to study that verse out. Because that verse, if you'll study it out, it says you're God's workmanship. That word means poem. Okay? If you keep studying, if you go to some different translations, it also says you are God's masterpiece. Yes, it does. Some of you think, well, I'm just tiny and I'm insignificant. Let me remind you, you're more glorious than the sun. You say, no, I'm not. Yes, you are, because the sun doesn't know it's glorious because they don't have a brain. But God gave you a brain. He created you in His image. You are some of the only creatures that have an imagination, and you can truly imagine in our limited imagination how great God is. The sun in its brightness don't even realize how great God is. But God made you like Him, and that's why you can look in the mirror and say, I'm a masterpiece, because I got a genius of a God that knows how to create. Come on, somebody. Are you a winner? Are you a whiner? Shout it, I'm a winner. Stand to your feet and shout, I'm a winner. Shout it, I'm a winner. You say, Pastor, I don't feel like a winner. It doesn't matter. Keep saying it until it goes from your head and gets into your heart. Just keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep speaking it. I think this is something I'm going to start doing. I think I'm going to start making declarations. And I'm going to ask you to repeat them after me. I don't know how often, but I think I'm going to do this. And in fact, I'm going to ask our team to put this up on our sign this week. Here's how I want to end this service. I want you to repeat after me a declaration. And I don't want you to say it with the church mouse. I want you to say it with a loud voice. I want you to say it like you mean it. Are you ready? Repeat after me in a great voice. I declare, God's incredible blessings over my life. I will see an explosion of God's goodness and a sudden, widespread increase. I will experience the surprising greatness of God's favor. It will elevate me to a level higher. Let's say it again, to a level higher than I've ever dreamed of. Blessings are coming my way. This is my declaration. Now give Him praise right now. I want to get this in your DNA. I want you to quit talking about where you came from and what you don't have. I want you to start talking about, take your words and speak where you want to go. Leave the whining behind you. Get a winner's mentality. Look in the mirror in the morning and say, I'm God's masterpiece. You may not believe it, but that's all right. Keep speaking it, because Ephesians 2 and 10 says, that's what you are. I'm not junk, because God don't make junk. I'm not trash, because God don't make garbage. I am made in the image of God. I declare God's incredible blessings over my life. Blessings are coming to me. I'm blessed of the Lord, and I'm highly favored of God. I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. Are you going to have your mind and your mouth work for you or work against you? When you wake up in the morning, let it work for you. Remember, we're on a 30-day no negative words. How many still with me? How many fall off the wagon? All right, God forgive you. Get back on the wagon. You know what I thought today, Morgan? I thought, you know what? It'd have been really good if those 10 spies would have been in TPC and been on a negative fast of words, negative words. If they could have been on a negative word fast in TPC, 1 million+ people wouldn't have wandered in the wilderness. Isn't it the truth? But their negative words and their whining cause people to stay in a wilderness. I don't want that for you. I want God's best and abundance and blessings over your life. Look at 3 people and tell them you're a winner and you're God's masterpiece. Thank you, Lord. I want to sing, "For It Reaches to the Highest Mountain." Now, before you go home,
we pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.